Good morning. In case you're wondering, yes, there is a spot on my shirt. It was a deep theological exercise. I wanted to see if anyone would say then, you know, do you have something on your shirt? Because God expects us to share our faith, right? No one said anything. I'm lying. I have a big mouth. I missed it. I still do not know how. I'm just a klutz. My wife's not here. Neither is my mother. So you guys are just going to have to deal with me as I am. So I apologize for that. Happy Mother's Day. I appreciate you guys having me back, and I appreciate mothers, and obviously without them we wouldn't be here. Amen. I do want to share a little bit. Normally I tell a joke, but I told Julie I kind of came up with a PowerPoint slide. I don't know how it's going to look, so she's going to pull this up. This is the truth about being a mother. At any point you need to say amen. Hey man, I'm out of practice. You guys need to get off my back. Jeez. Here, if you don't want to hear me, there's a door that's open. I'm just saying. You know how to do the slideshow, Julie? If you go up to file, actually hit slideshow right there. No, to the right. Oh, you can do that. No, go up. See in the middle, it says slideshow right there. Hit from beginning. They hit enter, and it'll just go as we go. You good? So I just want to see if I can stump you today, because you bet your ass. All right, go ahead. Isn't this the truth? Parenting in public, loving, kind, in the bottom, parenting at home. Oh, come on. You guys are that slow already? All right, go to the next one. Bathroom break. They will find you. You see the little hand? Any mother's got an amen to that? Go ahead to the next one. I don't need to say anything there. Yeah? Go ahead and hit the next one. I know that's an amen. See, now at my age in life, you know, our kids are older. We just want them to come home before I go to bed. That never happens. I was on the phone at 2 o'clock last night trying to figure out where our kids... Anyway, that's a whole other story. Go ahead to the next one. Grandparents. Amen. That's a Hershey bar about the size of me. So go ahead and hit the next one. Wi-Fi password. You must get the things done on that list. There's a good idea for parenting. If, you know what I mean? Change the Wi-Fi password every day. Just give them a list of chores. Go ahead and hit the next one. That's just my sense of humor. I don't know if you can notice. They're like doing the thing with the kids. The mother threw the baby. Look at her face. Isn't that awesome? Go ahead and hit the next one. First day of school. Praise Jesus, right? You guys can say it. It's church. We have to be honest here. So anyway, that's my weird sense of humor, so thank you. Today, I want to look at things transforming our minds. Not doing church the way we always do church. How many people here get in ruts? I mean, how many people here just kind of go through the motions in their faith? I mean, I'm being honest again. You know me. I'm just very transparent. It's just easier because I'm not that smart. You know, we had some good conversations with our kids the other day. And just talking about where they're at in their faith and how they're doing with God. And you guys know Carson. He just said, you know, Dad, I know God is real. I know God is with me. But sometimes I just don't feel Him. And as a parent, that's not something you want to hear. Because then the first thing, we're going to do more devotions. And we're going to do this. And we're going to do that. You know, it's not what you do for God. It's what you let God do for you. And so I want to change the way we think about our relationship with God. And I want to kind of transform the way we think. So I want to read, I'm going to start, and you don't have to turn there. Let me just read it to you. I'm going to start in one of my favorite passages. It's Romans chapter 12. It's a very familiar passage. And I want to read the NIV, and then I want to read the message, the paraphrase, because I love the way that Eugene Peterson kind of just says it. Because, Paul, I'm with you, dude. I'm not the smartest guy, and I'm not saying you're not smart, but I need the parables. I need simplicity. There's enough things in this life that are a mystery to me. I don't need God to be one of those things on that list. So Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1, it says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. for this is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but transforming by the renewing of your mind, then you'll be able to test and prove what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think more of yourselves than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment and according to the measure of your faith that God has given you. Again, transforming our mind, renewing our mind. That is my challenge for us here today. While I may be giving the message, this is a message I need to hear. Because sometimes I get in a spiritual rut. I go through the motions. I treat God like I would a pancake. It's there when I need it. I just go and get it when I want it. God is better than that. God deserves more than that from Ben Pletcher. So when I read the paraphrase in the message, it says it like this. So here's what I want to do. God helping you take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work, and your walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for Him. Don't be so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking about it. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily to recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you. He develops well-formed maturity in you. I'm speaking to you out of great and deep gratitude for all that God has given me, especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then as everyone does in a pure and perfect grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing goodness to God. No, God brings that to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is, by what God does, and that what we should be doing for Him. Now again, that's a paraphrase, but when I read that, it challenges me because sometimes I don't always do my best for God. I mean, I've said it many, many times. I want a full-time God with a part-time commitment. Wow, how can you say that? Is it not true? We like the fact that we show up 9 to 11, but God blesses us 24/7. Amen? Amen? See, and I think that we all know people that need Jesus Christ, do we not? We all know people that need the church. If they're not coming with what we're doing, then maybe we need to change what we are doing. This is not a feel-bad message. This is a fire-up. And I love my brother-in-law, man. He gets a little excited about worship. Amen? We get excited about football. This man gets excited about worship. Why do we have to come, strap on a mic, put on our vest, throw coffee on our shirt, to get excited about God? Because I can tell you, when things are bad, I'm excited when God is there. When things are out of my control and things not going the way that I drew it up or planned, I am thankful, I am excited, I am so happy that God is bigger than me. So how do we do these three things? Living as sacrifices, renewing our minds, and lastly, thinking of ourselves in accordance with the measure with our faith. That's really what I want to look at today to help us kind of change church, change who God is. I never want to come across as condemning. I am one that I need to be challenged. Because if I think I got something whipped, I don't put a lot of effort into it. Am I the only one in this room? I don't know. That's between you and God. So don't, I'm not looking for hands. I'm looking for honesty. I'm looking for the truth. You know what? I think there's a lot of things in this world that drive me crazy, and I know they're not the truth, but yet I spend so much time focusing on them when I know where the truth is at. So that's what I want to do. I want to look at the truth today. So if you want to turn with me to 1 Peter, I'm going to be in chapter 1. I'm going to read a few verses, probably 3. We'll start in verse 3, go through 9. And this is really going to be the content of what I want to talk about. So number one, a living sacrifice to God. When you go back to the Greek and you look at this phrase, It talks about our very condition, our experiences, what we're about, our culture, what's important to us. If someone did not know that we were Christians and they looked at our lives, would they be able to tell what's important to us? Would they be able to tell that we are a disciple of Christ? We are a person that's about trying to do what God wants us to do? You know, I had a preacher one time tell me, you know, Ben, you really want every aspect of your life to follow God. And, you know, the pride in you comes out. Well, I'm a pastor, man. That's my job. He goes, I want you to go home and look at your check registry. See where you're spending your money. So that's what it's going to tell a lot about you. Look at your internet browser bar. See what you're surfing, what you're looking at. See your calendar on the wall. Take every day ordinary things and see how much God is ingrained in them. He said, then come back and tell me. Don't talk to the dude again. I'm playing. I'm telling you, there are so many areas that I need to grow in my faith with Jesus Christ. Now, I can do one of two things. I can tuck my tail and pout and lay in the fetal position and say, I'm never going to get it. Or I can stand up, be a man, and say, you know what, God? Today, every step I take, it's going to be towards you in some way. Because every step I take, I'm going to stay away from the world. And there's a battle in there. Church would be easy if the world didn't get involved. I used to say church would be easy if people didn't come. Don't take that wrong. But you know what I'm saying? That's why God is God and we are not. So a living sacrifice. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, dear brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You ever done something for somebody who didn't appreciate it? All your mothers are going, yeah. Please do not share this. We'll save that for Sunday school next week. You guys will work it out then when I'm not here. But somebody, you went all out. You plan. You think. You have it in your mind. This is how it's going to go. And you go through it and it's kind of like, I didn't see that one coming. I wonder how many times I've done that to God. Dude's got a plan. Dude's up there. Oh, Benny boy is going to love this. And I just take a right turn and forget. Thankfully for God, he doesn't give up on me. To labor in love, to understand that it's not in vain, to understand that we do it for him, not for our spouse, not for our kids, not for the people in the pews beside you or the chairs sitting next to you, but for the almighty living God. That's how you live as a sacrifice. That's how you truly change your culture and change your thinking on who you want to be and how you do it and why you do it. I mean, let's be honest. When you clock in tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, you giving your all or are you on autopilot? I might do something about 9:30. It's Monday. I mean, we had Mother's Day. I had to get up and make muffins. Come on now. I had to get crap on my shirt. I had things going on. They understand that last week I gave them 40 hours and 10 minutes. I deserve an hour. Am I exaggerating? But boy, they don't pay that overtime. Whose office are you in? You cheated me. So what I'm saying is just understand that when you do it as if God is watching you. Do it as if it doesn't matter if anyone acknowledges it, but God is standing up there going, way to go, Ben. Way to do that, even though nobody saw it. I saw it. You see, we want that. We want that satisfaction. Not a lot of teenagers in here, but I guarantee when they post things, the first thing they do is count likes. Instagram, I'm not smart enough for that. I'm insta-dumb, but we won't even get into that. Social media, watch your children. They are seeking acceptance, and if you don't give it to them, they're going to find it. It's a scary thing. It's a scary world. Satan has turned it upside down in the fact that if I can get everyone to like me for who I am or what I'm willing to do, then that's what matters to me. Now, Satan is going to do it to us. We're not exempt from that. So everything we do is living sacrifice, is what we're about, our culture. You know, maybe I should have just preached on this. I need to keep rolling. But it's a passion. I'm guilty of it. I know I want people to like me. I want to be that funny guy. I want to be that person that people want to hang out with. But if I am not living for Jesus, then I am just an empty shell. And I need to keep that in check. So the second thing, renewing our mind. Let's change it. So let's start in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to God, the Father our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into inheritance that can never perish, spoil, fade, and will be kept in heaven for us. When we hear those things, praise be to God, we have a hope. That's got to be the start of the renewing of your mind. What do you place your hope in? What are you looking forward to? What is important to you? You know, we were in a small group setting not long ago, and getting people to talk about eternity is a scary thing. How many people here like to talk about eternity? First thing is, why would if I know I'm going? If I'm not, then, and I'm not trying to scare you. Again, you know me. I'm very transparent. It's just easier for me. But when we think about eternity, the first thing that Satan does is he gets us to thinking that you're not good enough to make it. The Bible says none, no one, nada, is good enough to make it. By the grace of God, we will be saved. Now, that doesn't mean live how you want and then cash in the card. But what it does is it should remove the fear and insert hope that because of who God is, that we have eternity to look forward to. And again, don't take it out of context. It means do what you want and cash in the rewards. No, we have got a responsibility to live for Him as living sacrifices. So what does that mean? It means surrender it to Him. You know what I mean? How many people here worry about things? If I gave you a piece of paper, could you write down top five things that you worry about? Those are the things you don't let God have. Those are the things that you put in your backpack in life and you trod through and they weigh you down. Well, Ben, you don't know. You don't understand how hard it is. Nail yourself to one of those. Tell me about how hard things are. God will take it if we give it to Him. Take out hope. Or take out worry and insert hope. We have a hope because of what Jesus Christ did. Not because of who we are, how many times we go to church, how many things we serve on, how much money we give. You know, you could spend the rest of your life sitting in that chair, and if you're not helping someone to come to Christ, you're just wasting space. We have a hope. It will never perish, never spoil, never fade. Now, I know Les preached on that because he told me. You guys remember that? He has a $50 gift card. You can give him his 3 points. I'm just saying. He's like, I don't remember, dude. I'm just playing. He's not. There's no gift card, okay? I'm just. People's like, well, where's my gift card? Sorry. Our hope relies solely on what God has done, not what we can do. That's an amen. Amen. Because I'm lousy. I shortcut things. I'm the guy that cleaned the house. Don't open that closet door. Because that's where the junk is at. We have an awesome opportunity to live out that hope every single day that's been afforded us, that will never go bad, does not have an expiration date, that cannot be taken from us. We are the only ones that can choose to go to bed. So what are we doing with it? How are we changing our minds? We need to renew our minds. Look at verse 5 in 1 Peter. We have a faith that is shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In you, it is in you, greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer and go through all kinds of grief and trials. That's the small print on the bottom of the screen that nobody wants to read. How many people here like suffering? How many people here like trials? How many people have had suffering? How many people have had trials? You're not exempt, but you have overcome it because because he who is in you is greater than that that is in the world. Amen. You've got to insert truth. You've got to, and don't be impressed with my Bible skill. Do not phone a friend. Do not call me if you're on a $100,000 show and want Bible answer. Call that man. I don't know. I don't know that kind of stuff. I know what I need to make it through the day. Just saying. That's where you need to start in your relationship with God and reading this book. Get what you need to make it through today. Why? Because tomorrow is going to have its own set of issues. We have to renew our minds. How do we deal with the storms of life? How do we? How do we handle the trials, the temptations, the suffering that we're going to go through? We are not exempt. As much as we want to, we can't be exempt from it. So how do we handle that? Who do we turn to? Verse 6 says we need to rejoice. I've been in the hospital in a lot of situations with people. And when they get the news from the doctor or they get a diagnosis or they actually end up figuring out what's going on, seldom do I hear rejoicing. In fact, this week I was down in Columbus with the Aussies, and you know, the doctors had just kind of came in and shared what was going on, and man, cancer's something else. And you know, you look at that situation, and the first thing you want to say is, God, how could you? I don't understand what this little boy's done. Mark said, you know, and again, please, I'm probably sharing more than I should, but the short version of the story is, he said, you know, in his text, you know, Brady's a good boy. I don't understand why this had to happen. Brady is a good boy. We have an enemy looking to devour, and he's going to take anything and everything. He will use it against us, not because we're good people, because he wants to say that God is not good. And you've got to protect this. You've got to protect the way you think. You've got to protect the influences that go into your mind, the people that speak into your life, and the things that you help use to make decisions. You ever got bad advice from somebody? You ever got bad advice from this book? Well, there's one time it said, go to your brother. If he has a speck in his eye, you know, it's a, no. You're taking that. We have to protect this in order to renew it. Sometimes that means hitting the reset button. Have you ever had to take a step back from a situation and look at it and go, you know what, there's the way I'm thinking about it is wrong. I need to take a step back and let's really look at what's going on here. It's easy to do in someone else's life, isn't it? Because you're not in the middle of it. You ever had the best advice for someone else, but you can't think of anything for yourself? Or is that just me? Isn't that crazy how that works? Because you're so far in, you have tainted your vision. You have not allowed your mind to really look at things for what they are. God already knows. So we have to understand that we are shielded through our faith. That shield protects this. And we have to do our part. The old garbage in, garbage out. DirecTV is not on God's side. iHeartRadio is not on God's side. Walmart is not on God's side. Kohl's is the devil. How many times have I said that from this trip right here? Kohl's cash is the devil. They're not on God's side. Why? Because it's of the world. And the world is out for itself. God is out for us. You need to shield your mind. You need to protect your mind. That way that you can rejoice when times of suffering, the trials, they come knocking at your door. Because they're going to come. And I'm sorry. But I serve a God who's bigger. Now, I may have to text you and say, Ben, hey, remember that day you said? Because sometimes I get real bad at forgetting about what I say. I want to blame it on age. I'm going to say it's because I have flesh on this body. We have to renew our minds. This last one's never fun. Not think of ourselves more highly than we ought. How many people here are humble? How many people here are prideful? You got to be one or the other. You can't. How many people here are afraid to say? You know, this isn't a prosecuting attorney's office. This is a witness's office. You know that, right? Nobody should be telling each other how you're messed up and you got problems. Saved by grace. Amen. Don't believe in, I'm not saying don't believe in tattoos. If I was going to get one, that might be a big one. Might have to stamp it. That way when this thing opens, everybody's, oh, never mind, we're okay. Not thinking more highly of yourselves than you ought, but rather in accordance with the faith that you've been given. How do you measure faith? Anybody know? How many people here think they're faithful? You guys don't like to participate at all. Anybody here faithful? Anybody want to share how they're faithful? That's why I don't raise my hand. Then it makes me say something. Go ahead. There we go.
I've been faithful pretty much ever since my husband had a stroke that, you know, our bills will be taken care of. And if I didn't have that faith in God, I would fall apart. And I still fall apart at times, you know, when things get rough. But my faithfulness has been what's gotten me through the past few months.
Amen. Anybody else have a life-changing situation that increased your level of faith? I mean, we just went through the whole Colby thing, right? And now the Brady thing. And situations like that, is it changes. It puts an imprint on our life, on who we are and who God becomes to us. That is rejoicing through the sufferings and the trials. How can cancer be a good thing? Because it increases faith. And if someone comes to know Jesus Christ because of cancer, God will tell you that it's worth it.
Right.
We may not agree. We may not like it. But if it is what it takes to get your spouse, your best friend, a family member that you've been working on for 100 years to come to know Jesus Christ, is it worth it?
Amen.
It is. You know, she helped with the sermon. Hebrews 11:1. Anybody know it? Faith is not in what you see, but knowing in what you don't. Is there any way for you to... Yeah, you can look at the checkbook registry. I'm not asking you, but you just know, don't you?
Yeah, I have to.
Some of the hardest times in my life have been some of the best God moments I've ever gone through.
Amen.
Very seldom do I experience God on the peak, because I'm all about, look at me and look how I got here. It's when I'm in the bottom of the pit and I've got nowhere to go, what I feel like I can't overcome, and God kind of puts his hand out and says, dude, let's go. Those are the God moments. That's how you rejoice in the sufferings and the trials of this life.
Right.
Who wants to sign up? It's hard, isn't it? That's why you got to change this. You got to change the way that you look, the way that you think about things. Sometimes having faith or being sure of what we hope for and not in what or and certain of what we do not see is what we have got to really tune into. I mean, again, look at your life. The hardest days of your life are the days that you finally have to give to God. And doesn't he come through? I mean, doesn't God always come through? It's not immediate. He's not insta-God. He's not flip a button God. He's in my time and in my way, in my good and pleasing and perfect way. We read it earlier. How many people like that? It's where you got to grow. Here's the deal. You either trust him or you don't. There's no in between. There's no half-hearted trust. There's no half-hearted faith. You're either in or you're out. Now that sounds kind of harsh. It's a very important thing, isn't it? We need to take the time to look at where we're at. Let's look at 1 Peter again. I'm going to look at 8 and 9. It says this: though you have not seen him, you will love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him, and you are filled with an inexpressible, glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, salvation of your souls. We love him even though we can't see him. We serve him even though we can't touch him. I'm going to speak to your mothers right now. How many people here, don't raise your hand. This is the part where I don't want you to raise your hand. How many people here feel like that gypped on Mother's Day? Do you love your kids anyway? Anytime I cook for Tammy, it's a bad day. Just saying. Holiday or not. Not cool. Carson finally goes, Dad, I got this. Thank you. Tammy's back there doing the old praise Jesus thing, but we won't get into that. She loves us anyway. That's what a mother does, right? It's what a father does. We love our kids irregardless. I was told this week of a family that they just remodeled their basement. They're in their late 40s. They just had a set of twins. That's not the joke, but anyway. They're redoing their basement, and the kids were watering the grass because their dad told them to. You know the old windows that have the pits? They turned the hose on, messed around somehow. It flipped down in that little window well. Forgot to turn the hose off. They had a water in their basement. So they were getting ready to move into the basement, and it was completely flooded. Ruined the drywall. Now, I think it's... I've never been in that situation, but I've been in parenting situations. At that moment, I don't love my children. I love them enough to say, get away from me, or you're going to meet Jesus Christ himself, because I'm going to take you there. But then you cool off, you chill, you cool down, and you can't even sit back and laugh. Right? What does it take to get you from, get away from me, to, you know what, come here, I love you anyway. That's the way God is. That's the insta-God you're looking for. Because he does that with us. We love him even though we can't see him. We trust him even though we can't touch him. And it is the goal of our souls, the salvation that we can receive. And you know what? It's not just a one-size-give. It's not just for me. It's for you. It's for everybody. So shouldn't we be sharing? How many people here know people that got messes going on? Anybody? If not, I want to come live with you. Because my wife is constantly saying, this world is such a mess. Everywhere we turn, Ben, there are messes. Yeah, I give you that. But everywhere I look, I see an opportunity for God to prove himself, not only to me, and I don't know why he's got to prove himself, but if we're being transparent, don't we expect God to prove himself to us? I mean, if we're down core, nitty-gritty, at the very center of our being, at some point we think or say to ourselves, well, God, if you're real, then you need to do... fill in that blank. The good news about God is he may do it in some way, shape, or form. It may not be Burger King our way. But his goal is for you to know him and love him. And he's willing to give a little bit, I think. That's my opinion. You know, correct me if I'm wrong. So, not thinking more higher of ourselves than ought, measuring our faith is one simple thing. What are we willing to let God have and do for us? That's really all it is. You're expecting some deep theological answer where I can give you, you got the wrong speaker. He's not here. So measure your faith by how big you're allowing God to be. You know, that's why the Bible says that. Do not think of yourselves higher than you are, but instead measure yourself again in accordance with the measure of faith that you have. Because if you want to be a great person, a great Christian for God, then give him more faith. Live more faithfully to him. God will tell you what to do with all the stuff that goes with it, I promise. But most of us need God to be at work in our lives right now, amen? Are you letting God work in your life right now? Maybe you've got a situation. Maybe you've got an individual. Maybe you've got a marriage. Maybe you've got a circumstance. Maybe you've got a diagnosis. I don't know where you're at. The good news is God does. So allow the Word to transform your mind, the way that you think. Allow the living God, who is alive and active, right? We believe that. Change your situation. But it has to start with you giving it to him. And there's nothing I can say. There's not a song that we can sing. There's not a prayer that I can pray that can make you say, God, here it is. And that's the thought I want to leave you with this morning. Renew your mind. It's not business as usual. Why? Because from here on out, I'm going to let God fight for me. I'm going to let God deal with it. That person that I want to get out of, I'm going to let God have him. I'm going to pray him up. The Bible says that when you pray for people, it's like throwing heaping coals. And it's not... loving thing that is going to break the wall. That's the only way to do it. Maybe you're that person that says, you know what? I know God's real. I know God's there. I don't feel it. want you to answer. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to give you that chance. Maybe you need to come down here and talk to the elders. Maybe you need to get on your knees and come before the throne and say, God, you know. You know what I'm struggling with. You know what I'm fighting with. You know the anger, the bitterness, whatever's inside of this heart, God, you need to reach down and heal it. All you got to do is come down. That's all you got to do. And then trust that he's going to guide you where you need to go. He's going to renew this. But it starts with you standing up. The praise team can come on down. Elders are going to be here. God's going to be here. If you just want to go off and pray by yourself, you don't need to talk to anybody. You and him. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you for the ability to look at your word and sharpen our minds and change the way we look at things and change the way we think. Lord, I pray that when we leave here today, we're different, not because of anything that I've said, but because of the truth that you've given me. This is something I need to hear. God, I'm sorry when I make Christianity something that's not supposed to be. I'm sorry when I make it more about Ben than I do about you and grace and all the things that you give us. I love Les's thing of saying, Lord, have your way. Lord, we ask right now this time that no one worries about what anybody else is going to think, but Lord, we are face to face with you. Lord, you know where we're struggling. You know what's bothering us. You know what we're holding back. You know what we're carrying around. Lord, I pray that if we need to take that step of faith, then we come down here and we give it to you. We get on our knees and we pray. Lord, we ask for healing. We ask for guidance. We ask for forgiveness. We ask for whatever it is that we need because your word says all good and perfect things come from above. Lord, we're asking for you to open up the covers of goodness. Lord, let us take what we need here today. Thank you for meeting us. Thank you for always loving us and never giving up on us. I pray that, Lord, we do our part, whatever that looks like here this morning. Lord, renew our minds. Let us live as living sacrifices. Lord, let us live in accordance with how much faith that we have, not by how good we think we are. We thank you for being you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
about him, isn't it? They have made something special for the mothers today. There's flowers for you to pick up on your way out, I think, at both doors. So whichever way you go, should be a flower for you. So God bless you all. Kids are bringing stuff in, too, I guess.
Yes, sir.
Is that for now?
Yes, sir. If you have a child who is present, niece, nephew, daughter, son, there's going to be some stuff coming out of the back for you when they come out. So please be prepared.
Bring it on, children.
Bring it on.
Hey, kids, you can come on out.
Normally, they're by the door.
They're probably outside.
There it is. Wonderful.
Come on in, boys and girls. These were all handmade by the kids themselves.
Do that? People are going to hear that.